for the multitude of your tender mercies. Lord, we thank you that you saw fit to wake us up this morning with the portion of life, health, and strength that you have given us for this day. Lord, this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, in spite of our circumstances, in spite of our problems, in spite of our challenges, in spite of our aches and pains, in spite of all the things that the enemy wants to bring our way. This is the day that you have made. And Lord, we give this to you, Lord. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory and all the honor. Lord, even now as we set to go forth in your word, Lord, I pray that everyone that is here in this building today would listen for your voice. That we would block out all the distraction, all the noise, and that would be laser focused on you today, Lord. That we would say to you that we trust you with all our hearts. We lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways, Lord, we acknowledge you. Your word says that if we would do that, that you shall direct our path. Direct our path today, Lord. Show us the way to go. Show us the right direction. Show us our next move. Show us what we should say, what we should do. Lord, we are available to you, Lord. Use us the way you would use us, the way you would like to use us, Lord. Bless us to do, carry out what you would have us to do, but most importantly, give us a willing heart and mind that we may walk in that straight path that you have put before us, that we would run the race that you have set out for us to run. Lord, we praise you. We love you, Lord. We can't do nothing without you. We realize as you bring us, as life brings us to our knees time and time again, we realize, Lord, that we can't do nothing without you. Forgive us of our sins. Have mercy on us. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy today, Lord. Touch our hearts and minds. Heal that body today, Lord. Save that soul today, Lord. Touch that mind today, Lord. Hey, glory. Bless us as a family. Bless us as a congregation. Bless us, your people, like only you can. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you in advance for what you're going to do, for how you're going to work it out. Because you always do, Lord, time and time and time again, over and over and over and over. You keep on working it out, Lord. You keep on making a way, Lord. We thank you. Even in our disobedience, we thank you, Lord Jesus. You've been good to us. And we thank you today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on and give the Lord a hand clap. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Don't we serve an awesome God? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Mark 14, we're going to read We're going to focus in on verses 3 through 9. It's a time when, in the 13th chapter, Jesus started talking about the tribulation. He started to talk about how he was going to come again. And he gave them the parable of the fig tree. He wanted them to ready themselves, be watchful for when he would come back again. And in the 14th chapter, the leaders of that time were plotting to kill Jesus. And it starts out with the first verse. It says, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And the third verse says, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of nard, very precious. She broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation. In other words, they were very, very upset within themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. They murmured against her. In other words, they were talking about her. Amen. The sixth verse says, and Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble her? She has wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, you may do them good. But me, you have not always. In other words, I'm not going to be here much longer. She has done what she could. Look at somebody and say, she has done what she could. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. She has done what she could. You know how many times I've heard people say, I don't have nothing to offer Jesus. I don't know what I can do. Yeah, but just do what you can. Amen. She did what she could. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus says, she is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she has done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Amen. Now listen, unless we're all just fooled here, you only go through this life one time. Amen. You only go around once, as they say. Everybody gets one shot to make life count. And then you are done. I don't know about you, but there are two things that I want to make sure I do with my life, or else I am convinced my life will have been a waste. First of all, I want God to be pleased with my life. Amen? And I'm still working on that. But I want him to know how much I love him, and I want him to be pleased with me. Secondly, I want to make sure that I make a difference while I was here. There is a lady talked about in the New Testament that I believe unlocks the secret on how to make life count and to make sure that your life counts. She teaches us a very simple lesson. And the takeaway is that anyone can make life count by serving Jesus.
Y'all remember that famous quote that John F. Kennedy uttered years ago when he said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." Amen? Let's think about it this way, if you would. How much time have we spent asking God to do something for us? Compared to the time we've spent asking God what we can do for you. You think that scale would be a little tilted? If we added up the number of times that we have went to God and say, "God, please do this, will you do that?" You know, the number of times we have asked God to do something for us compared to the number of times that we've said, "Lord, what can I do for you? I'm available. Use me, Lord. My hands, my mouth, my eyes, my ears, whatever I have, Lord, use me. What can I do for you today, Lord?" See, most days we wake up and we say, okay, we give God our to-do list, if you will. Amen? "Lord, I need this, I need this, I need this to go well, I need you to bless this, I need you to do this," and all that. But how many times do we wake up and say, "Lord, I know that you have got me completely in control, that I trust you, Lord, that you know what's best for me, so I'm not even going to spend too much time talking about me today, Lord. Lord, what can I do for you?" What can I do for you, Lord? As parents, think about it. How many times these kids ask you for something? How many times your kids ask you for something, right? Wouldn't it be nice every once in a while if your child just said, "Mom, is there anything I can do for you today, Lord? You know, anything I can do for you? Mom, is there anything I can do for you today? Is there something I can do for you today to make your day a little easier? What can I do for you, Mom? What can I do for you, Dad? Is there something that I can..." How many times do you hear that compared to, "I need this, I need that, I need this. Can you take care of this for me? Can you take me here? Can you bring me here? Can I go there? Can I get this?" Right? Just think about it. As a parent, it wears you out after a while with all the wanting, the wanting, the wanting, the wanting. After a while, you're like, "No! Leave me alone!" Right? Leave me alone! Mother says, "Go talk to your father." Father says, "Go talk to your mother." After a while, they're going, "Who can I talk to? Nobody! We're all done here. We've given all that we can give." Right? So we need to see what kids don't understand. And I try to tell my kids this. I'm just trying to get them to get it. They always want things. They want things from their mother, their father, their grandmothers, and their aunts and their uncles and all these things. And I tell them all the time, what you need to do is every once in a while, give that person, if it's not someone that's living in your house, like my sister does a lot for my kids. My sister gets my kids everything, because she doesn't have kids of her own, so she does a lot for my kids. So I tell my boys, I say, you know, and they know they can go to her and she'll say yes. And that's fine, but I say to them, you know, every once in a while, out of the blue, give her a call. Send her a card. Stop by and see her and just say, you know what? You're so good to me. And I just want to thank you. And I tell them, that's all. They don't do it for those reasons, but that means the world to them when you just let them know that you appreciate all that they do because they do so much for you. Amen? God don't need our thank you. God doesn't need our, he doesn't need it, but don't you think he loves to hear that every once in a while? Instead of us saying, Lord, please do this, please do that. Can you do this? He's not an errand boy. He's not your errand boy. There's nothing he can't do. Yeah, he can solve every one of your problems. He can give you the world if it's his will, but he's not your errand boy. Tell him thank you, everyone. Let him know that you appreciate it every once in a while. Let him know, Lord, is there something I can do? You do so much for me, Lord. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough for all that you've brought me through, all that you've done for me, for all the times you've forgiven me when I didn't deserve it, for all the different things you do for, Lord, is there something, is there anything, Lord, that I can do for you? Because you know what? All the things we said in our meeting when we met together as a congregation are true. This is an area that's ripe with possibilities, that there's people hurting everywhere around here. There is a lot of work to do. All the things we said are true. But are you available? Are you available? Not to change the world, not to change the neighbor, but are you available for whatever God puts in your path? To say a kind word to somebody, to pray for somebody, to give somebody a hug, to give somebody a smile, to let somebody know that they can make it, to give them some hope. Are you available? Or are you too busy? See, we know what needs to be done. We see it all around us. The lady that we're talking about in the scripture today wasn't even named in the passage. But from other gospel writers, we know her as Mary. Because of her simple service to Jesus, he gave her an eternal honorary membership in God's Hall of Fame. He said, what she has done, this is Jesus talking, shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Amen? And she didn't do it for that. You see, I want to talk about, the first question I want to ask you is, and ask myself and ask all of us, am I waiting to serve Jesus? You know how the Bible tells us, wait on the Lord? And it says, wait, I say again, on the Lord. Sometimes we need to wait for things that we've prayed for, that we feel, you know, that we want God to do for us in our lives, but while we're waiting, we need to be a waiter or a waitress, if you will. What are you talking about, preacher? In the meantime, while I'm waiting, what can I do for you? If I'm always thinking and kind, like, when's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? You know, it's like looking at the clock. You know how you've been somewhere, like either at school or at work or something, you're just looking at the clock. When's it going to be 5 o'clock? When's it going to be 5 o'clock? And then you look at it again. When it seems like the day goes so slow, right? But what happens when you get busy doing this, that, and the other? Next thing you know, oh, it's 5 o'clock already? Right? That's how it is in our spiritual life, too. If you're just sitting there waiting, Lord, when are you going to bless me? When are you going to bless me? It hasn't come. I asked you 2 weeks ago. It hasn't happened. I asked you a month ago. It hasn't happened. When am I going to be healed? When is this going to happen? We're waiting. If that's the way you're going to wait, you're going to be in agony. It's going to be seem like it takes forever. How about just saying, Lord, this is my petition to you. Lord, you said, come boldly to the throne of grace and ask for what I will. I have not because I ask not. Lord, I'm here asking boldly, knowing and trusting you because I know you can do whatever needs to be done. And then leaving it there and saying, in the meantime, Lord, what can I do for you? Who can I pray for? Who can I call? Who can I visit? Who can I talk to? Lord, give me somebody, put somebody in my path that I can encourage. The waiting goes by a lot faster when you're waiting on somebody else. While he was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper and at the table, there came a woman, as the scripture says, with very costly perfume. It was very expensive, and she broke the vial and poured it over his head. And the people that were there got so mad because they said, what are you doing? Why are you wasting? It's so expensive. Do you know what we could have done with that money? We could have given it to the poor. They were scolding her. They were talking about her because she did what she wanted to do and what she could do for Jesus. But if you notice, while everyone was attending to their own needs, Mary was waiting for an opportunity to attend to the needs of Jesus. Mary, just like her sister Martha and her brother Lazarus, was like an adopted family to Jesus. They had been around Jesus enough to know that his heart was heavy. He was living within sight of the valley of the shadow of death. She knew that something was deeply troubling him. You see, when you spend time with anyone long enough, you learn what they like and what they don't like, what they want and what they don't want, what they love and what they don't love, what they need and what they don't need. Mary knew Jesus because she had spent time with him. If you really have any care at all in learning how you can serve Jesus, what you can do, then the best things that you can do is spend time with Jesus. Amen? How do I spend time with Jesus that I don't even see? I can study the Word of God. I can talk to him. You know, we get to know God better by talking to him throughout the day, every day. Amen? One of the ways is getting into this book and studying. Amen? Studying to show yourself approved. Studying so that you know, what the Word says. Amen? You remember not too long ago when they came out with the WWJD bracelets and they were selling everything WWJD, what would Jesus do? You remember that? It was supposed to be a reminder that when you got into a situation, you could look at the bracelet or you can look at whatever it is you had on and say to yourself, what would Jesus do? Well, how in the world would you know what Jesus would do if you don't know what this says? If you're only going by what she's told me about Jesus, what he's told me about Jesus, what I heard about Jesus, what I saw on the TV about Jesus, then that's all you know. If you don't know this, you don't know what Jesus would do. You got to spend time with someone to understand what they would do. Think about it. I like to break things down very practically. I mean, Jan is, you know, as well as she thinks she knows me, which is not very well, by the way. You think she would know what I would do in a situation better than she knows what Reese would do? She knows Patterson inside and out, right? She knows how he thinks. She knows what he likes. She knows his ways. She knows where he's come from. She knows him. She don't know all that about me. Amen? I'm trying to make a very simple point, right? She knows him, so chances are, if someone said to her, what would Reese do? Oh, I know what he would do in this situation. Right? She doesn't necessarily know what Fred would do, what I would do, what Paulette would do, but she knows what he would do. Why? Because she knows him. She spent time with him. It's no different with Jesus. Yeah, so we have to study the Word of God. That's one way to get to know him. Another way is throughout your day talking to him. They're going to think I'm crazy. No, they don't think I'm crazy. Listen, I'm not saying, you know, as you're walking downtown, talk out loud to, you know, I'm not talking about that. But as you're going to a meeting, as you're waiting, Lord, I thank you for the day, Lord. You've been so good to me, Lord. Lord, I don't know what's coming up in this meeting, but Lord, just word my mouth. Help me to understand what's going on. Help me to do what I need to do. Talk to Jesus all day long. Pray internally and watch. He starts showing you himself. He starts letting you get to know him a little bit. He starts answering some of the things that you're talking about and asking about. And you say, oh, okay. And you get to know him a little better. Amen? You see, the difference between Mary and everybody else that was in the house was Mary saw Jesus and saw that he was troubled, that his heart was heavy. And she wanted to do something for him. So the first thing is, are you waiting? Not just for your stuff, but are you waiting on Jesus? And the second thing is, are you willing? How many know it's one thing to know what needs to be done and another thing to be willing to do what needs to be done? And I think that's what's at the heart of our question in our meeting as a congregation. When it comes down to should I stay or should I go or should this close or should it stay open, it comes down to we all know we can have a meeting for hours talking about what needs to be done, and we're all right. But the question is, are you willing? Are you available to do all the things that we know needs to be done? Notice in verse 3, while he was in Bethany at the home of Simon, she broke the perfume. Mary takes some tremendously costly perfume that she had probably saved years to purchase and pours it over the head and feet of Jesus. Mark uses two adjectives to describe this particular ointment. He uses one that literally means genuine, to let us know that this was not some type of blue light special. This was the real thing. This was a genuine perfume. It was very expensive. Then he uses another word to let us know how costly and expensive it was. In other words, it was the finest perfume that money could buy. Do you know what Mary was doing? She was giving the very best that she had to Jesus. I might not be able to give what you could give. You might not be able to give what I could give. But whatever I got, whatever you got, give him your best. See, we like to spend the majority of our week in our days doing what we want to do. Yeah, we got to go to work because we need money to pay the bills and get the things that we want. But other than that, we like to spend our time doing what we want to do. And then we say, I'll give God a couple hours on Sunday. Or for some of us, an hour and a half or an hour on Sunday. And we think we're doing him a favor. Boy, I go to church every Sunday, Fred. How about me? Pretty special I am, aren't I? Am I giving God my best? Or am I giving God what I feel like giving him? One thing about God is he doesn't ask you for what you can't do. As much as I love my brother Brian back there, he's not going to ask Brian to come and join the praise team. Don't worry yourself, all right? He's not going to ask Brian to do that. You know why? Well, you know why. Amen? Amen? He won't ask you to do something that's not in your wheelhouse, if you will. Amen? Mary did what she could do. Not all of us can give the same things to Jesus. Not all of us have the same kind of money. Not all of us have the same kind of abilities. Not all of us have the same kind of intelligence. Not all of us have the same kind of skills. But every one of us can give our very best to Jesus. Isn't that great? That means it don't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter where you grew up. It doesn't matter who your daddy was. It doesn't matter what you have compared to what somebody else has. All that matters is that you give him your best, whatever that is. And it's very acceptable to him. Use what you got. You know, we could sit here and say, you know what? We don't have a drummer. We don't have nobody. We don't have somebody that consistently can play the piano. And we need this and we need that. And how are we going to do? No, well, you got a guitar player. Use what you got to the glory of God and let him work out the rest. Right? It's better than sitting here complaining about what we don't have and don't do anything. Right? Use what you got. God's pleased with that. He's all right. He's not mad at us because we don't have a drummer. He's not mad at us because we don't have this or that. He's saying, you got what you have. Use it. Use it to make a glorious sound. Use it to bless people. Amen. We were talking about that in the meeting as well, weren't we? Some of us are, you know, like, you know, Paulette talks about, you know, getting out of our comfort zones. And for some of us, going around, you know, to the houses and knocking on the doors is really uncomfortable. It really doesn't feel like it's something that I, you know, and maybe that's ourselves, or maybe the Lord needs to bring that out of us. But if I'm not comfortable doing that, there's something else I could do. Because there's a whole lot of stuff that needs to be done. Amen? We talked about it. The church needs to look presentable so when we have guests come to our church that they will like what we have here for God. There's things that need to be. We need to make phone calls to people. We need to follow up with people. People need to be prayed for. People need to be visited. There's all kinds of things that need to be done. Young people need to be trained. Young people need to be encouraged and showed what to do. There's a lot of things to do, and maybe knocking on doors is not your thing, but maybe you can spend some time with a young person and talk to them about your experiences and about God and how they can avoid some of the mistakes that you've made or I've made. Amen? What can you do? What do you have to offer? And don't ever think that what you have to offer is not good enough. Because whatever it is, just give God your best and he's happy, he's pleased with that. Thank you, Jesus. So are you willing? And And you know, it's not only willing, but it's wanting. You know how people like to say, "Oh, I'll be there if it's God's will. Oh, it's God's will. Amen. Yeah. Basically, what you're saying is, I'll be there if I feel like it. Right? Because it's God's will. All right? You don't have to, you can take the if out of there. We like to do that all the time. If it's the Lord's will, I'll be there next Sunday. No, it's the Lord's will. I can tell you that right now, but are you wanting to be willing to do what God has had for you to do? Because what happens a lot of times is we have to understand. With everything we got going on here, with all the things we got going on in our personal life, in our church life, and there's a war going on every single day with you. Every day the Lord allows you to wake up and open your eyes, there's a war going on between the enemy and what God wants you to do. And that affects your choices. It affects what you're wanting and willing to do. Because you may have a desire to go to church today, but when you wake up, the enemy will be like, "Oh, I'm tired. Been working hard all week. My hip hurts. Oh." And you see, all these things, you know, right as soon as you wake up, he doesn't give you no time to even, as soon as you wake up, he hits you with things. There's a war going on. And you got to be able to say, "No, devil. God's been good to me. I may be tired, but I'm never too tired for God. I may be hurting a little bit, but I'm going to go and give God his, because he's been good to me." Amen? But you have to be able to sort that out. Because trust me, the enemy's going to do whatever he can to keep you from being blessed. Because you think you're going to church for somebody else. I say all the time, don't come to church for me. Don't come to church for him. Come to church for yourself. You need to be here. You're not doing anybody else any favors. You need to be here for you. So you have to know the will of God, but also you have to be able to. That's why it's so important day in and day out, Lord. Lord, help me, Holy Spirit, to follow your ways, follow your will. You know, the Bible simply says if you mind the things of the flesh, you walk after the things of the flesh, that's what you're going to do. If you walk after the Spirit, right, you mind the things of the Spirit. You have to be able to sort all that out and understand the voices. And that's where getting to know Jesus and getting and spending time with Jesus in the Word of God, in prayer throughout the day, that's where how you tend to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit more strongly than you hear the voice of the enemy. But if you're not putting no time in, you know, if you grew up with somebody, you've known them all your life, but they've been somewhere else for the last 10 years, but you've known them all your life. You say, "Oh, I know him. I know her. Grew up with him." You might not know him now the way you knew him, even though you've known him all your life, because for the last 10 years, they've been somewhere else. Right? You don't know what they think now. You don't know what they're into now. You don't know what's going on with them now. Like you know them, right? See, some of y'all been in the church all your life. I know Jesus. I've been here all my life. Since I was a baby, I've been in this. I know him. Haven't talked to them in a long time. Haven't spent no time with them. He might have done changed on you a little bit. No, Jesus don't change. Don't, well, concerning you, things might have changed. How you know? You haven't talked to him in a while. Right? See, we like to rest on, I've been here all my life. I don't need to open up this Bible. I've been listening to it since I was a child. You know how many messages I've heard over the years? I got enough scripture in me to last me all 2 lifetimes. I don't need to do that. Yeah, you do. Because today's a new day. And you ain't never seen what today has to offer. You don't know what's in front of you today. You don't know what's coming your way today. If God lets you see tomorrow, you don't know what's coming tomorrow. All you know is what's happened already. You cannot rest on your laurels or your attendance, if you will. Right? So you have to be wanting. And you got to understand, one of the things that Mary had to go through in doing what she did for Jesus was she had to suffer some criticism. Amen? As soon as she did what she did, she got criticized. They started, what are you doing? All, you know how expensive that was? You know what we could have used that for? In this life, you are going to be criticized. Amen? By church folk and non-church folk, you're going to be criticized. People, that's how they do. They like to criticize. You know, we like to point out things of other people. We don't like to point at ourselves too much, but I love to talk about your stuff. Amen? Boy, I could tell you about yourself all day long. Sit down, let me tell you about yourself. Now, we're not talking about me right now. You know how many times I've said that I have to catch myself? I've been in an argument with, well, you need to do the, what about you? Well, we're not talking about me right now. Right? Let's stay on you. We're not talking about me right now. Right? And then you always like, see, you always do that. You always try to turn it around on me. We're talking about your stuff right now. Right? But in this life, you're going to be criticized. People are going to talk about you. Right? The things you do. But you have to be willing to withstand that if you know that what you're doing is right. If I'm doing something for the Lord, I know that it's right. You can talk about me if you want to. You can criticize me if you want to. But I know if I'm doing something for the Lord, if I'm doing what He would have me to do, then I'm in the right place, doing the right thing. But it's not easy sometimes, because none of us like to be criticized. None of us like to be talked about. None of us like to be singled out. You got to understand, the truth of the matter is, this world that we live in, anything you do for Jesus, they're going to think it's a waste of time. The world, some of your worldly friends that don't care nothing about church and don't want to, they think, really? You go to church for 2 hours on Sunday? They think it's a waste of time. Really? You're going to go to church on Wednesday night or Thursday for what, Bible study? Really? You're going to walk around the neighborhood? Leave those people alone. They don't want to be bothered by you. The world is always, they're always going to criticize. They're always going to think it's a waste. But then when you do it and you see the effects that it has on you and has on others, you realize it was the right thing to do. Amen? When you get right down to it, all that matters is what Jesus said in verse 6. He said, let her alone. Why do you bother her? She has done a good deed to me. There were two evaluations on what Mary had done. One side said it was a waste of time, poor judgment, and too extravagant. Jesus said it was a good work. And here's what I want you to remember. What really matters about my life and your life is not what others think of us, but what really matters is what Jesus thinks. Amen? Please remind yourself that over and over and over again. It's what really, really matters. When you come down to it, what really matters is not what the world thinks of me, but what does Jesus think of me? Because the world can't do nothing for you. But Jesus died for you and gave you his life so that you might have life. Amen? I'll never forget what Adrian Rogers was a preacher that I loved to listen to on the radio a lot. And Adrian Rogers said, if you please Jesus, it doesn't matter whom you displease. But if you displease Jesus, it doesn't matter who you please. Think about that. If you please Jesus, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. But if you don't please Jesus, it doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. You know, it's like we want to please the world. We want the world to be happy with us. We want our coworkers to like us. We want our family members to be pleased with us. We want our friends. We want all the people we hang out with to think that we're cool, to think that we're funny, to think that we fit in. Well, if you got all that but you don't have Jesus, you're going to be in a bad place at the end of the day. But if you got Jesus, it don't matter what anybody else thinks. Amen? Thank you, Lord. You'll notice that Jesus didn't say this was a big work or even a famous work. He just said it was a good work. When you think about what she did, it was really a small thing. Nobody outside of that house knew what Mary had done. It didn't get her name in the paper. As a matter of fact, she got criticized for it. But what I love about Mary is that she was willing even to do a small thing regardless of the criticism. A church is built on people who are willing to do not the big things, but the little things. There are a lot of people in the church that want to be the big dogs. People want to be where the money is. They want to be where the power is. But the heroes of the church, the heroes are the people who will sit on the floor and play with the young ones and teach the young ones. The heroes are those that will teach the young, the babies, their first song about Jesus. The heroes are the men and women who will talk and train the younger ones, mentor them, spend time with them, teach them, guide them, and help them to be all that God would have them to be. Amen? The lines are filled with people who want to do big things, but you can't find people who want to do the little things. Amen? When we have work days and stuff like that, there's not a big sign-up sheet. Amen? In other words, people aren't running in here saying, "What? Can I clean the church next week?" What can I do? One simple statement Jesus made about Mary speaks volumes about her. He said in verse 8, she has done what she could. So many of us cancel ourselves out because we don't feel like we have anything to offer. What am I going to do in the church? I can't sing. I can't preach like Fred. I don't know nothing about the business of the church. I don't know what should be done. What am I going to do? I have nothing to do here. Yeah, you do. There's a million things that need to be done. Amen? I thank God for Patterson sitting at that place right there and being at that door every Sunday. Because you know what? You don't know who's going to walk in that door. And somebody needs to be back there to see what's coming into the house. You might think like, oh, what's that? Anybody can sit back there. No, that's important. It's important. Especially in this day and time, it's important. Amen? It's an important job. Everything we do, those that are downstairs missing the message right now, spending time with the little ones, teaching them about Jesus, is just as important as what I'm doing right now. Amen? It's just as important. The praise team spending time to prepare themselves on Saturday, to get up here on Sunday, to get us into the spirit of praise as we come into the church. It's important. The ones that come here during the week when nobody else is here and clean up the church, vacuum and clean and do all, it's important. Just as important as what I'm doing right now. It's not less important. It's just as. Because all these things need to be done in order for God's work to flourish. Amen? So whatever you have to offer, you might say, all I got is my time. We need people that have time because a lot of us don't have time. Right? All I got is, I'm available. What you need me to do? That's all we need. Don't ever compare yourself to somebody else. God has things for you to do. Amen? It's not what she did that impressed Jesus, because she didn't really do that big of a thing. What really impressed Jesus was that she done what she could. She did what she could. He realized that that was the best. She's had that for so long. It was expensive. She chose to give God her best. And my best may not mean nothing to you. My best may, you might look at my best and say, that's all you got? But if it's my best, Jesus says, you gave me your best. We got to ask ourselves the question, am I giving God my best? Or am I just giving him something? Am I giving him my best? Am I doing unto the Lord heartily? Am I giving him all I got? Or am I just giving him what I feel like giving him? What I got time to give him? Only you can answer that question. And the thing about it is, you might fool me, you might fool her, you might fool him, but you ain't fooling God. Because he knows. He made you. He died for you. He rose again for you. He knows you. You could fool me, you can't fool him. You can tell me, preacher, I wish I could, but I got this going on, I got that going on, and I might say, okay, great, you're too busy, but God knows. God knows. One of the things I used to, y'all don't know it, but when I was in the office there, a lot of times I'd spend time reading through some of Pastor Lott's sermons and things of that nature. And he preached one on, are you too busy for God? And, it talked about, we clutter our lives with all this stuff because that's our nature. We want more and more, and we always, I need this, I need that, I need that. And what happens is the end, again, it goes back to that war. The enemy allows us to do, oh yeah, you can get that. Next thing you know, you're too busy to do what you need to do for God. And if you're too busy for God, you're too busy. That's plain and simple. Amen? As I close, I want to leave with you this thought when it comes to serving Jesus. You only have one life. It will soon be passed. Only what is done for Christ will last. When the mountains have crumbled into dust and the stars have fallen from the heavens like ripened figs, when the oceans have dried up like a desert and the sun is flamed out to shine no more, what you have done for Jesus will live and last forever. Amen. It's great to get that promotion on the job. It's great to be liked by all your friends and family. It's great to be, popular. It's great to, all those things are what they are. But only what you did for Christ will last. Only what you did for Christ. Amen? Let us stand. Mm-hmm.